Welcome to the Spiritual Brain Surgery Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lee Warren, a neurosurgeon and an author, and we're here to take a hard look at what we believe, why we believe it, and how neuroscience and faith can smash together to help us live it out, defend it, and pursue our quest to become healthier, feel better, and be happier the way our Creator designed us to. So today, we're going to change our minds and change our lives with some spiritual brain surgery. Let's get after it. Good morning, my friend. I hope you're doing well. Dr. Lee Warren here with you on Sunday. We're going to get after some spiritual brain surgery on Thursday. We did Theology Thursday on the Dr. Lee Warren podcast, and we talked about thought cancer and a mind transplant that we can learn from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. If you didn't listen to that episode, go back and check it out from last Thursday. And it's about the mind transplant that we learn when we can change the thought cancer called if and when for a new mind called though and yet. Powerful episode, powerful thought process. And it might be surprising to you that some of the earliest self-brain surgeons show up in the Bible. Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet, lived hundreds of years ago, is one of those guys. And today I just want to give you a quick little Bible study, quick little self-brain surgery check-in of six things we can learn from Habakkuk other than the mind transplant that we already covered. There's at least six things. There's probably a million things, but there's six things that I picked up from Habakkuk that quickly we can learn to look at how God behaves. And we learn quickly that his ways are different than our ways, but we can trust him because God doesn't do things like we do, but he does the right thing in the right way. He can always be trusted. You can look back over time and see, yeah, the way he was working in that was actually for my good. It's almost never possible to see that in real time or going forward. That's why Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That verse is not usually helpful to say to people in the funeral home, at the graveside, right when the husband leaves or right when the relapse happens. That scripture is hard to see. But I'm telling you, 11 years almost on the backside of having lost my son, I can see ways that truth is there, that promise turns out to be true. Not that it's a good thing. We always talk about how quantum physics tells us that two things can be true at the same time. And we have to live in that. We have to live in that paradox, as Pete Gregg called it. That now everybody's that studies this and everybody that lives life and everybody that goes through hardship almost always either gets crushed by it or they come to understand that there's dual realities happening all the time. We talked yesterday about the fact that sometimes you're in the hard thing, but there's also a rainbow. Sometimes you're in the hard thing and there's a baby pheasant walking across the field. That God shows himself, hey, I'm still here. There's still a beautiful wide world. Use the right half of your brain and see that this is not a binary all or nothing process. And Habakkuk gives us six ways that we can see all that. We have some friends, dear friends. They're basically family members. And 2 years ago, they had a great heartbreak. One of their kids had expectations of something amazing happening in his life, and it didn't happen. And nobody could understand it. The kid did everything right. He earned everything, worked hard, should have had the opportunity. All these amazing things should have happened for him, and they didn't. And he got really disappointed. And the interesting thing is he didn't give up. He didn't quit, and the family didn't just walk away and be disappointed. But it was a really hard time. And for 2 years, he has worked and worked and worked and tried to engineer another opportunity for these good things that he's earned and deserves to happen. And all of a sudden, now, here 2 years later, a huge opportunity is opening that's infinitely bigger and infinitely better than the one that he thought he was supposed to have 2 years ago. And if you look at from the big picture, from the skybox, from the 30,000 foot view, what's happening now could never have happened if it happened the way he wanted it to happen back 2 years ago. It would never have worked out this way. So the way it's going to work out, he's infinitely in a better position. He's infinitely more prepared. He's infinitely more ready, and he'll appreciate it and live into it and work through this opportunity. And it's going to be way bigger and way better for him than anybody could have imagined 2 years ago. And that's why Timothy Keller says, God doesn't usually answer our prayers in the way we want. He answers them in the way we would want if we knew what he knew about what we were praying about. God answers the prayers in the right way. And my friend Dale Margaret, the Dale and Joe Margaret have been on the podcast before. They built this house and worked this land that we live on. They're just incredible people. And Dale says, God is never late, but he is seldom early. He shows up when he's supposed to show up. And it feels like he's late, but he's not. And that's what we learned this week from our friends. And that's what we learned from Habakkuk. So let's just get into it. Sunday, I want you to spend most of your time worshiping, hanging out with your people, getting some Sabbath in. But just in case you're working out or working, you're going to hear this today. Maybe you hear it tomorrow. I just want you to get six things. As you study the little book of Habakkuk, make your own notes. Here's six things that you can see that I saw. And I'm just going to kind of run through them really quickly and get on with your day, okay? First thing, God never solves anything, almost never solves anything in the way we think that he should solve it, but he always solves it. You can trust that. That Habakkuk shows us that God is up to something. And when he does something, as the New Testament says, it's infinitely more than we can ask or even imagine. So we're banging our head against the wall. It doesn't seem like God's there. Know that he's working on something. He has a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. And even if it doesn't play out in this lifetime the way you think it should, he is, remember, the rescue's underway, as we talked about for the paid subscribers last week. If you haven't seen that, sign up for a 7-day free trial. Go to Substack, drleewarren.substack.com. Go to the posts. Click on the rescue is underway and just sign up for a 7-day free trial. And you can watch this little video and then you can unsubscribe, but go watch it. That'll help you get this picture in your mind of no matter what it feels like, no matter what your emotions are telling you, no matter what your synapses of past experiences are telling you this is happening, God is working something out that is going to deliver and rescue you, and he will keep every promise he ever made. And that's what we learned from Habakkuk. He's never late, but he's seldom early. Number two, God is always in control. Even in times when it seems chaotic and confused, he is in control. He is never out of control. He's never surprised. He's never defeated. He's never out of control. He's never freaking out. We are often out of control, but God never is. Another lesson we can learn from Habakkuk, number three, God always wants what's best for you. But sometimes what's best for you isn't the thing that you want best. Sometimes it's different than you think, and you've got to put a different hat on. You got to change chairs from patient to doctor. Look at it like a self-brain surgeon. Look at what would God be working on here if I knew everything that he knows. He is always wanting and working for what's best for you. The problem is sometimes it's really, really hard getting there, living through what you have to go through. Sometimes it feels really bad, but God is on the move. Sometimes he's doing something really, really good. He always wants something best for you. He's always up to something that is for your good. He wants what's best for you. He always wants what's best for you. But the path to getting there sometimes feels impossible to us, though. He's a God that parts the water, but not till you dip your toe in it. He's the God that makes a way when there is no way. He's the God that brings water in the desert, that delivers manna and quail when you think you're starving. He does things that seem impossible to us, but he does them. You can read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning and hear what he says about the concentration camp. Knowing God was going to get him out of it, but the path was really, really hard. He believed, he never gave up, he had faith, and he didn't even know armies were fighting across the world to deliver him. God was doing something globally to answer the prayers uttered on the lips of those people in those concentration camps that couldn't possibly have known what was happening. When it seemed hopeless, God was still on the move. That's a lesson from Habakkuk. Number four, our job is not to understand how God works, but to trust that he is working on our behalf all the time. Not to understand, not to know, not to tell him how to do it, not to make him sort of horseshoe him into sort of shoehorn in him into doing the things the way that we want him to do them, but to just trust that he is working on our behalf all the time. The Bible is full of times when God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than you. I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm doing stuff you can't understand. Our job, my friend, is not to understand how God works, but to simply trust that he is working on our behalf all the time. Number five, as I said before, you can never find peace or joy through circumstances. but only through faith. That's the lesson of the Theology Thursday episode last week. Transplant that if and when. If and when are a thought cancer that will drive you crazy, leave you disappointed, constantly be moving the target on you. If and when is no way to live. You will never be happy if you pursue if and when. You will become progressively more enraged. And this is the problem. If you look at the media and what's happening, you see all these people protesting and shouting and angry and demanding their way, and politicians promising people things every 4 years that never change. And people get progressively more and more bitter and polarized when they think that happiness comes from if this and when that. And if you finally get out of my way, or if you finally respect me, or if you finally do all the things, stop saying all the words I don't want you to say, and stop doing all the things that trigger me, and do all these things, and recognize my identity, and do all those things, then I'll be happy. The problem is, once you've made everybody comply with what you think will make you happy, you still won't be happy, because then something else will offend you. Until you learn to become unoffendable and learn to depend on Him to tell you what really is going to make you happy, you never will be. And so you can never find peace or joy through circumstance, but only through faith. Until you recognize that trying to make everybody recognize who you are, and being who you are, and finding your true self, and living your truth, and finding your all that stuff, that's not where happiness lies. Happiness lies in submitting to the mind of Christ, to letting Him show you what life is really about, to becoming more and more like Him. That's where peace, that's where happiness, that's where joy, that's where resilience, that's where untouchability comes from. That's what we learn from Habakkuk. And finally, number six, we get frustrated when we think God should work on our timeline, but we get peace when we relax and realize that His timing is always perfect. Remember, Dale Margaret said, God's never late, but He's seldom early. He shows up when it's time for Him to show up. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, God used this horrible, evil nation called Babylon for His good purposes. It's mysterious. It doesn't make sense to us. He's using bad people to do things that are ultimately good for the good people. It doesn't make sense. But His ways are so far beyond what we can think of or even understand that's why we're called to trust Him. He's like sometimes a dad doing good things. It doesn't make sense to the toddler. The toddler thinks they're not getting what they want, and they're screaming and yelling, but the dad is doing the right thing for the benefit of the toddler, and the toddler's mind isn't developed enough to understand it yet. And that's what happens with us and God sometimes. He's doing the right thing in the right way at the right time, and it seems incredibly frustrating and mysterious to us, and we just have to land on trust, because we can't think of or even understand what He's doing. But we know we can trust Him. And that's why we live by faith and not by sight. That's why we live in revealed fact and not in feeling. Right in the middle of this little three-chapter book, chapter 2, verse 4, Habakkuk says, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. You can't live by what you have to see. And you can't live by your circumstances always working out for you, or you will never be happy. That's a big amen. If you're taking notes, put amen right there. If you live under circumstances, you will never be happy. The words, the righteous will live by faith, are quoted twice in the New Testament, by the way. That's how important they are. Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. Paul reminds us, the righteous will live by faith. The only thing that you have that will never, ever be let goable if you want to be happy is faith. That's what's going to give you peace and hope and joy. It's faith. Joy can only be found by decoupling circumstance from peace of mind. To land on that, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Get rid of if and when, land on though and yet. Now you can rejoice no matter what you're going through, friend. You can trust no matter what the outcome. You are complete in Christ because He is always there for you. His steadfast love, as Lamentation says, never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. And that's why you can always land where Habakkuk landed and rejoice in the Lord. He did a brain transplant. He did a mind transplant. He did self-brain surgery. He excised from his brain and from his heart and from his life these, if God will straighten these people up right now, then I'll be happy. He quit hoping things would work out in his time frame and in ways that he thought would satisfy his desires. And instead, he transplanted hope by finding the words, though and yet. Look at the very end. Look at the language he uses. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though my candidate might not have won, though my car payment is late, though my wife passed away, though my child died, though my husband has cancer, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the wrong guy won the election, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. And here it comes. This is the transplant. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Though the person I wanted to win didn't win, though the playoffs didn't go the way I wanted, though I tore my ACL and didn't get to play in the NFL, though my coach let me down, though my spouse didn't do the right thing, though the market went south, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Though the government's doing stuff I don't like, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Though the farm didn't work out this year, the rain didn't come, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. It seems like evil is prevailing, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, Habakkuk said. He gets rid of it. If he gets rid of if and when, then transplants though and yet. And my friend, that is the secret to becoming infinitely happier. The question for you and me, for all of us, is this: what are you focusing on? Remember, how you attend to things and the things you attend to are what forms you. What you focus on is what forms you. So what are you focusing your ifs and whens on? And how's it working out for you? I don't mean to sound like Dr. Phil, but how's it going for you? Because what got you here won't get you there. If you want a new mind, if you want the mind of Christ, if you want to live healthier, become, feel better, and be happier, you got to change your mind. Habakkuk did it, and he lays it right out. This is a handbook of self-brain surgery right here in the Old Testament. Though X happened, yet I will wait for the Lord. I will place my trust in him. I will be joyful anyway. That's it. Get rid of if and then and transplant though and yet. It's good neuroscience. It's biblical. It'll help you. Take a lesson from the Old Testament budding self-brain surgeon Habakkuk. And I hope this is helpful to you, my friend. It's exactly what I needed today. This is a good way to study the Bible. Like, how is this scripture showing me I should change my mind? How is this scripture showing me that God's never late, but he's seldom early? How is this scripture showing me who God is? What kind of person, what kind of character does he have? And how can I learn to be more like him if I recognize that becoming more like me only makes me more miserable and I need to become more like him? Where can I find it? That's how you study the word. You bring the filter of not who am I and what is he going to do for me, but who is he and how can I trust him more? That's what scripture does for you. That's what Habakkuk does for you. He did a little self-brain surgery because he recognized that he couldn't change his life until he changed his mind. My friend, you can't either. Here on Sunday in this theology lesson, the self-brain surgery tips we learned from an Old Testament prophet, I had to stop saying if and when and start saying though and yet, and so do you. And the good news, my friend, if you want to be infinitely happier and change your mind and change your life, is that you can start today.
Hey, thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren Podcast is brought to you by my brand new book, Hope is the First Dose. It's a treatment plan for recovering from trauma, tragedy, and other massive things. It's available everywhere books are sold, and I narrated the audiobooks. Hey, the theme music for the show is Get Up by my friend Tommy Walker, available for free at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. They are supplying worship resources for worshipers all over the world to worship the Most High God. And if you're interested in learning more, check out TommyWalkerMinistries.org. If you need prayer, go to the prayer wall at WLeeWarrenMD.com/prayer, WLeeWarrenMD.com/prayer, and go to my website and sign up for the newsletter, Self-Brain Surgery, every Sunday since 2014, helping people in all 50 states and 60 plus countries around the world. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I'll talk to you soon. Remember, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind. And the good news is you can start today.